Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Welcome, welcome. The name of all, in our name of our risen and ascended, and today transfigured Lord and Savior Jesus. You know, one of the great mysteries that we have of the faith is the transfiguration of Jesus, God in the flesh, who gives us glimpses every now and then. And today we get a glimpse of His glory in His brilliant and magnificent transfiguration. We pray that God would richly bless us as we hear His word and receive His gifts today. A few words on our worship service this morning. Our opening hymn, 413, O Wondrous Type, O Vision Fair. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 1. That's on page 151 and following. Have a worship insert for the day. Readings are on one side. Propers are on the other. First, you'll need that. We'll sing the introit together. Two options for the hymn of praise during this Christmas and Epiphany season. We've been singing the song of the angels, the Gloria. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the blessings of each day. We thank You for Your presence among us, God in the flesh. Heavenly Father, so often we think of our Savior as limited, not enough, holding back. Help us to see, Lord, today that You have held nothing back, not even the life of Your Son, God in the flesh for us. Truly a human being to suffer and die in our place. Truly God to overcome sin, death, and the devil. We give You thanks this day for the salvation that He and He alone has procured for us. Lord God, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. Hymn 413. 151. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have not done. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing together the introit.
Your lightnings lighten
from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. To God in the highest, and peace to His people on earth.
Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship You, we give You praise, we praise You for Your glory. Lord Jesus Christ,
transfiguration of Your beloved Son. You confirmed the mysteries of the faith by the testimony of Moses and Elijah. In the voice that came from the bright cloud, You wonderfully foreshadowed our adoption by grace. Mercifully make us co-heirs with the King in His glory, and bring us to the fullness of our inheritance in heaven. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Continue with the readings. Please be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the transfiguration of our Lord is from Exodus chapter 34. When Moses came down from Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the people of Israel came near, and he commanded them all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the people of Israel what he was commanded, the people of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face was shining, and Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went in to speak with him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. epistle is written in 2 Peter chapter 1. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For when He received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to Him by the majestic glory, "This is My beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with Him on the holy mountain. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with our Alleluia in verse. We stand for the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After 6 days, Jesus took with Him Peter and James and John his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And He was transfigured before them, and His face shone like the sun, and His clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with Him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If You wish, I will make 3 tents here, one for You, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He was still speaking, when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is My beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to Him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to We continue with our hymn of the day, hymn 417. You may be seated.
Oh,
cannot follow cleverly devised myths. When we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon, this transfiguration of our Lord, is the epistle lesson read a few moments ago from the first chapter of Peter's second letter. Dear friends in Christ, the Bible is no mere story. The Bible is no myth. The Bible is truth. It doesn't just contain truth. The Bible tells us about the only true God and how He has interacted with His people in history, in time and space. Genesis chapter 1 doesn't give us a parable about God's creation. It is the authoritative account of God's creation. The book of Jonah isn't simply a story to teach us not to run away from God, but it is the true account of how God saved a man's life with a whale, and then even more miraculous, sent him to convert the people of Nineveh. Three men in a furnace, Daniel in the lion's den, the crossing of the Red Sea, the fire from heaven that consumed Elijah's sacrifice, water from a rock. These are not just stories told to illustrate a point. They are the true accounts of how God has intervened in history for the good of His people. The so-called experts call them myths. Even many Christian authors and preachers explain them away in embarrassment. But they are not stories. They are not myths. The Bible gives us the truth. The only truth that can set you free. God has interacted. God has intervened in history for your salvation. Peter saw it. Peter heard it. He didn't concoct a good story. He didn't follow one created by others. He heard the whisperings, the accusations. Virgins don't have children. People don't rise from the dead. It's impossible for someone to feed thousands with just a few loaves. The world thought the disciples were crazy, following the insane ramblings of some dirt poor rabbi, and then creating a story of resurrection when he was foolish enough to get himself killed. But Peter knew better, for he was on the mountain of transfiguration, the mountain where the Creator of the universe made all things quite clear. For when Jesus received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to Him by the majestic glory, "This is My beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with Him on the holy mountain. He saw the glory with His own eyes. He heard with His own ears the very voice of God Himself point to this Jesus and call Him His beloved Son. He didn't make it up. He didn't follow stories given by others. Peter saw. Peter heard. We did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. The glory of Jesus is no myth. It is no story. Peter saw. Peter heard. The glory of Jesus is reality right before His eyes. Myth makers have been around almost as long as humanity, but what Peter heard and saw was no myth. Or maybe we could say that it is the true myth. The truth that all myth is searching for and striving, some in failing quite dramatically, some coming more close. That truth that the myth is searching for. Peter saw with his own eyes and heard with his own ears what the storytellers could only dream of. God in the flesh. However clever Peter may have been, he didn't come up with this on his own. It could only be revealed to him. The true myth that God is standing among us in the flesh cannot be devised by the mind of men. No prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Peter saw, Peter heard, and now Peter speaks. That is the task of an eyewitness, to see something, to hear something, and then to tell others what you have seen and heard. An eyewitness doesn't give his own opinion. An eyewitness doesn't make something up. An eyewitness sees and speaks. And what Peter has seen, that is what he speaks. The glory of Jesus is no myth. This man is true God, the only begotten Son of the Father. Now you and I are not eyewitnesses. We were not on the mountain that day. If anyone was, you can raise your hand. But I don't think any of us were. But we are not for that reason to be pitied. Peter says, we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention. We have been given the Scriptures, the recorded words of those who are carried along by the Holy Spirit, those who did hear and see, who were inspired to write both the words of God to His people and the accounts of His great deeds in history. The transfiguration confirms the Scriptures. You heard that language in the collect. The presence of Moses and Elijah on that mountain declares that this Jesus is the very one the Scriptures proclaimed. The one who has come to fulfill the Scriptures. Because of the transfiguration, because Jesus was glorified and pointed to as the only Son of the Father, those who pointed forward to Him and those who point us back to Him, we can believe, we can trust in the testimony of both. We are not to be pitied, dear friends in Christ. The Scriptures give us Jesus, just as surely as if we had stood on the mountain that day. We have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place. The Scriptures are our light in the midst of the darkness of this corrupted world. All around us is error, temptation, sin, and death. In the wilderness, the darkness of human wisdom, of trust in ourselves, surrounds us. The world wants you to walk in the darkness. It wants you to doubt God's existence or His goodness, or to deny His great deeds in history. And you all know how doubt creeps in. How the pressures of this world, the ridicule of this world, creeps in when we consider the fantastic events of the Old and the New Testaments. But all that the world offers you in return for abandoning the Scriptures is a shaky foundation built on human reason that shifts as the sand. Only the Scriptures stand firm, immovable, unchanging. Only they can shine like a lamp in the darkness of this world. The Scriptures shine the light that we need, the only light that can overcome the darkness that suffocates us. And the Scriptures shine the light because they show forth the one who is the light, the one whose face and garments shone on that mountain, Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. And He was transfigured before them, and His face shone like the sun, and His clothes became white as light. Jesus is the light. The light that has come into the world, this world of darkness, to shine in our midst. He is the lamp shining in a dark place. He is the bright morning star. Through Him, God created light. And thus He comes to reveal the light, to shine it forth in the darkness of this world, in the darkness of your sinful heart. We have something more sure. The prophetic word, to which you do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. That is the light the Scriptures proclaim, the light of Christ, the light that Peter saw with his own eyes on the mountain of transfiguration. And Peter wanted to bask in that light, didn't he? He wanted to remain in that glory. And who can blame him? But he couldn't stay. Jesus tells Peter, James, and John, "Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." You see, the glory of that mountain was only a taste, only a glimpse of the glory that was yet to come. But it was more than that. It was the guarantee, the sure and certain promise of the glory that was yet to come. Jesus went down that mountain to walk the dark and deadly road of the cross. But the transfiguration promised Him, as it promised Peter, James, and John, that there was glory on the other side. That the very one who was nailed to the cross was the beloved Son of the Father, who kept His glory hidden under humility. The promise of the transfiguration is the promise of Easter, that He laid down His life in humiliation, only to take it up again in glory. And the same eyewitnesses that saw Jesus revealed in glory on the mountain would be the same eyewitnesses that saw His glory revealed in an empty tomb. But that is by no means the end of the glory that is to come. The transfiguration is the promise that Christ will return in glory. The very glory He showed forth upon that mountain. The very glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. He is the bright morning star. His appearance will be the sign that the day is coming. He is the sunrise that inaugurates a day that will never have an end. And when that day comes, He who has all glory will give you glory. The very glory He won for you by walking the dark road of the cross to the bright rays of the empty tomb. The transfiguration is the promise, the sure and certain guarantee that you will be raised up in glory when He returns. That even though you now walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there is unspeakable glory ahead. Peter isn't just telling stories. This is no cleverly devised myth. He saw with his own eyes the glory that lies ahead for Jesus, for himself, and for you. But not yet. Peter had to travel down that mountain with Jesus. He had to follow his Lord to the cross. Even after Christ's resurrection, Peter still had his own cross to await. But in the midst of trial and tribulation, he could look to Christ as he looked to Christ's cross, as he waited for his own. Peter was comforted by that glimpse of glory he saw on that mountain. He had the privilege to see the glory that belonged to Jesus from eternity. To see the glory that will belong to all believers on the last day. That is the glory that Peter proclaims to you in the pages of the Scriptures. He heard, he saw, and now he speaks. And that word, as with all the Scriptures, will endure until Christ comes again. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. The gospel of Jesus is no myth. It's no story. It is as sure as the vision that Peter, James, and John were privileged to view on the mountain. It is as sure as the resurrection of Jesus. These are no cleverly devised stories. There are no myths here. Only a crucified and risen Christ. He is the bright morning star. The star that anticipates the coming of the dawn. When you see Him returning on the clouds with Moses, Elijah, Jonah, Daniel, Peter, and all the saints, you will be raised up just as surely as Christ is. The resurrection of Jesus is no myth, and neither will yours be. And until that day, you are sustained by the vision recounted to you this very day by an eyewitness. Peter saw, Peter heard, and Peter has told you the glory that is Christ and will be yours when the day dawns when the morning star rises. Never, never to set again. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Having heard the word, we confess our common Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. Please stand.
One God, Father of all nations, Creator of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men, and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory.
Pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, you revealed your glory in the transfiguration of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who tabernacled among us in the flesh. Open our eyes of faith that we would see him continuing to tabernacle among us here in the divine service, and that we would heed your admonition to listen to him as he forgives and preserves us at the font, the pulpit, and the altar. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Father, with the appearance of Moses and Elijah at our Lord's glorious transfiguration, you reveal to us that all the law and the prophets are fulfilled in him. Send your blessing upon all pastors and servants in your church, that all their preaching and teaching would flow from the right understanding, that all of Holy Scriptures are true, and all of Holy Scriptures testify of Christ and all that he has done and continues to do for our eternal salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty Father, you alone establish all authority on earth. Bless those entrusted with this responsibility, both here and abroad, that they would serve with integrity and honor and for the well-being of all. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Father, graciously comfort and strengthen those who are sick, hospitalized, or enduring ongoing treatment, that they would know your peace and receive healing and relief according to your gracious will. Be with all those who are lonely, depressed, suffering mentally. Surround them with those who know your redeeming love and will mercifully care for them. Grant steadfastness to those near death, comfort to those who grieve, and the sure and certain hope of the resurrection to all your children. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, how lovely is the dwelling place of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who gives us sinners to eat and drink of his flesh and blood here at the holy altar. Grant to all who come to this feast today repentant and believing hearts, that in the Holy Eucharist they would receive forgiveness, life, and salvation, and be strengthened in faith towards You and in fervent love toward one another. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy Father, we give You thanks for Moses, Elijah, Peter, James, and John, and all the saints who have fallen asleep, trusting in our Savior's promises. By Your Holy Spirit, keep us in this faith, and bring us to behold with them the fullness of Christ's glory in His kingdom, which has no end. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into Your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in Your mercy, through Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Again, welcome in the name of Jesus. This time we ask that you would participate in what we call the rite of fellowship at the Trinity Throne. Please sign your name, visitors. Glad you're here. Please share with us your mail address. We can acknowledge your presence and worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray the good news of God's glory for you and fill your hearts with peace, joy. This time also we worship God with our gifts and offerings. Continue now with the offertory, page 159. We stand.
Lift up your hearts.
us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who at His transfiguration revealed His glory to His disciples, that they might be strengthened to proclaim His cross and resurrection, and with all the faithful look forward to the glory of life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of His body and His blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and in the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Yeah.
Lord and Savior Jesus, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven. We continue now with the Nunc Dimittis, page 165. Please stand. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of His coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb and His kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Please be seated for our closing hymn, 416. Swiftly past the clouds of glory. Again, welcome in the name of Jesus. He gives us not only a glimpse of His glory, but gives us Himself full and free. Couple of announcements before we dismiss. Check out the Good Shepherd news and notes for all the activities and events that are happening in the days and weeks ahead. Next Sunday after church, we have the big soup cook-off, so you're all invited to join there. And if you want to make a soup or so, there's instructions in the news and notes who to contact. Corey Christensen, who's around here somewhere. Anyway, back in the kitchen, I suppose. Also, the pancake feed on the 2nd of February is coming up. Check that out, as well as several other activities and events. We'll have our Sunday school opening in here in about 5 minutes. Everybody's invited for coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. We're taking a kind of a different approach for our Bible study time today. Our finance committee has asked for some time to present some information on some loan restructuring here in the congregation. Not a voters meeting, no official business will take place or anything like that, but pure information for that the congregation really needs to have. So that'll be during our Bible study time in the fellowship hall. Next Sunday, we'll be back with Ecclesiastes. Pastor? Yeah. Today, after church, Pastor Marundi and I will be leaving for the Fort Wayne Symposia. We will we'll greet the Preusses for you while we are there. But while we are gone, everything will continue on, regular midweek and confirmation and all that stuff. While we are gone, the good vicar is in charge. So, if everybody has a beard when we come back, we'll know what happened. But everything will be in good and very, very capable hands. And if there's an emergency, he knows who to contact. So we'll both be back on Friday of this week, but we'll be gone Monday through Friday. Yes, Mrs. Christensen. Oh, there you are. All right,
very good, very good.
Yes.
Okay.
Lutherans are notorious for not wanting to sign their name on anything. So.
Yeah, but we need cheese crackers too. If you don't want to sign up for soup, sign up for something else.
Okay, very good. And the most important thing is plan to come hungry next Sunday.
All right. Very good. All right. Join us for coffee and goodies. Have a great day and week in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ.